Hello, everyone. My name is Isabel Mansour. I'm in 7th grade, and I go to Thursday Middle School. I'm going to open us with prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for just blessing us so much today, for us to come together and just worship you, and just that you're so great. You are so big. We all love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm here to talk to you about how big God is. So then I asked my dad, "Dad, how big is God?" He replied with, "Bigger than a bread basket." Then I went to ask Siri on my iPhone, "Siri, how big is God?" And she asked if I would want a web search. So then I went to the most reliable source I know, called the Bible. Genesis 1 states, "God is so big, he created the heavens and the earth." So I looked around myself to see God's wonderful creations. He created us to do each and every amazing thing. Why wouldn't we want to trust someone so great? An example of someone in the Bible who trusted God is Daniel. If you would like to open your books to the book of Daniel, chapter 6, and if you don't have a Bible, there's some in the pews right ahead of you. Throughout the kingdom, there is a decree filed against anyone who did not pray to King Darius. They were to be thrown into the lion's den. Daniel, being a faithful servant, kept on praying to his one and only God. And then eventually he was caught and thrown into the lion's den. And then after that night passed, chapter 6, verse 19, I'll be reading from that, says, "At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to rescue you from the lions?' Daniel answered, 'May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I have found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty.' The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God." As showed in the book of Daniel, God is so big, you can trust him with any situation. Someone in my life who knew how big God was, was my grandpa. My grandpa was a great role model of someone who loved God. Two summers ago, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. But through his fight, he always looked to God. And I knew that whatever happened, it would happen for a good reason. This summer, though, he passed away after his strong fight. At times like this, when you feel like God isn't with you, we soon found out that he was. After my grandpa died, we found an entry in his journal that he had written after being diagnosed with cancer. It said, "I am so excited to release the body's bonds of pain, go directly to heaven, and be in the presence of my personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." If my grandpa could trust God, you can trust God. With your problems, to lift the guilt and sins and be forgiven, with anything, to make good decisions. So how big is God? Definitely bigger than a bread basket. Definitely bigger than a web search. And as it says in Mark 10:27, he is so big, all things are possible through him. Thank you.
Hi guys, my name is Malachi. Thank you so much for letting me have this opportunity. I'm really excited for how this will turn out. So I'm 16 years old, I'm in 10th grade, and one of the things I like to do in my free time is photography. So it turns out that photography is one of the best ways for me to get a sense of how immense and complex God is through his creation. So I was at Zion National Park recently, earlier this summer, and I wanted to take a photo of some star trails. So I was out in the pitch blackness waiting for the long exposure to end, and I was just staring at the stars. You know, the night sky is amazing to me because, honestly, the sky looks so manageable and you sort of get it. It looks small. But once you explore it, you get a sense of its scale, you realize that the sky is enormous. And once you get over that and it settles in your mind, you realize that the sky is even larger and larger and more powerful. I think it's the same with God. God. He's the creator of us, the universe, and eternity itself. He's bigger than what's comfortable for us to think he is. The following is part of the book of Job, chapter 25, 26. And this part of scripture shows me how overwhelmingly complex and enormous God is. He stretches out the north over the void and hangs the earth on nothing. He binds up the waters in his thick clouds. And the cloud is not split open under them. He covers the face of the full moon and spreads over it his cloud. He's inscribed a circle on the face of the waters at the boundary between light and darkness. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astounded at his rebuke. By his power, he stilled the sea. By his understanding, he shattered Rahab. By his wind, the heavens were made fair. His hand pierced the flaming serpent. Behold, these are but the outskirts of his ways. And how small a whisper can we hear of him? But the thunder of his power, who can understand? Can you imagine being contrasted with the blinding holiness of God himself? It would be an understatement for me to say that that would be scary. Perhaps then this is the reason that I try to make God smaller and more manageable. Throughout history, us Christians have tried to manipulate God's deity by checking off boxes and doing good deeds. But God, he's bigger than that. Many times, I've subtly decided that my relationship with God is God serving me. But in reality, I cannot control God by limiting his role in my life. Don't think that you can control God by making him answer your prayers the way you want at the speed you want. When you think and act in a controlling way over God, you're actually creating another God completely at war with our true God of the Bible. This phenomenon is seen throughout Scripture. For example, in Exodus, God's people just got enslaved from slavery. They had witnessed a bunch of God's crazy miracles, examples of his great power, and just saw Pharaoh and his thousands of soldiers drown as they're about to capture them and kill them. And yet, they doubt the power and the promise of God. Now, the idol that they created was very visible. It was a big golden calf made out of all their jewelry. But the idol that we create is actually just as visible. I think that so many of us worship our earthly identities. Our earthly identity many times holds us back from God by attempting to put God in a box. For instance, religion is a perfect way for us to build up self-righteousness for ourselves. Guys, all righteousness is what God gives us. It's a gift we don't earn. This other righteousness isn't righteousness at all. It's selfishness, which is a sin. This religion is worldliness, and it's actually separated us from God. No box checking we do is going to get us any closer to him. Certainly not. All these excess rules and qualifiers are human-created junk. You know what? Let me quote Paul from his letter to the Philippian church. I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, I persecuted the church. As to righteousness under the law, I was blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as dung, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness of God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this. Reach out to the homeless and the loveless in their plight, and guard against corruption from our godless world. Works for ourselves, that's boasting. Works in the Spirit of Jesus for the glory of Jesus is boasting about Jesus. Works for ourselves is looking at what I've done. Grace is looking at what Jesus has done. So how do we respond to this good grace that God gives? God created us to do good works, and which he prepared in advance for us to do. Good works is the best way for us to show our love for God, and he made us to do them. Let's look at Ephesians 2:8-10. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift so that no one can boast. Now look at verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God created us to do good works. What God does in our life is bigger than what is comfortable for us and leads to more life. Life in the Spirit. One way we can tell whether someone is following the true religion and worldview is to observe the end result. So we can't follow the ultimate result of somebody's life once they die. But what I've seen is that false religion takes away life, and its outcome is pride and despair. Do you know that person? So devoted to themselves and their accomplishments that they're full of pride. And yet whenever they fail, like they don't make varsity, they're full of despair. It makes sense that this path ultimately leads to emptiness and destruction. But the other path, it gives life, life in the Spirit. We don't deserve it, so we fill with humility. Our name is in Jesus, not ourselves, so we're confident. Thank you, God, that our lives, when they're full of Jesus and what he does, they're leading to life and peace. It should be each of our greatest desires to aim towards perfect grace and perfect holiness. After all, Jesus is great, not just because of what he said, but because of what he did. We absolutely need to live a life full of doing good things for other people. And we need Jesus and his grace to empower all the things that we do.
I guess I'm going to say good morning because it is still 11:21. But we know you late service people, you know. First service was laughing at you guys because you guys, you know, they come early. They're ready to go. They're ready for God's love. Early in the morning, you guys, you know, take your time, sleep in, and get some good rest, you know. Make sure you get that good 8 hours of sleep, you know. All right? I feel you, actually, because I'm a late service kid. You know, me and my family have a hard time getting up trying to get to church. I love God with all my heart, but, you know, some days it's just like, man, how am I going to get out of bed? My pillow feels so nice on my head right now. I'm all cuddled up in the blankets, and I'm just like, oh, man, oh, no. But my mom gets me up, and I'm a big mama's boy, if you didn't, you know, you don't know. And she gets me up, gets us all up, and we get ready to go. It's so funny because, you know, my mom complains about only getting three ready, and the Holmes family has many to get ready, so I respect them. We should actually give them an applause. The Holmes family has so many kids to get ready in the morning. It is crazy. But if you do not know me, I'm Robert Clemens. I'm 17, and I'm a senior at Laguna Beach High School. You know, I knew Youth Sunday was coming up. And Sam had messaged me on Facebook. I was actually on Facebook doing some stuff, being a teen, you know, probably stalking somebody's profile, I don't know, something weird. And I get a chat from Sam. He sends me a message. He goes, hey, do you want to speak at Youth Sunday? And I go, Sam, you know, I don't know. I'm busy, you know, football, college apps, high school in general. It's a lot of work. And I was like, you know, I don't know. You know what? I was like, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You know, just get back to me with whatever you need. Like a couple days later, Sam, again, I'm on Facebook. Apparently, I'm not that busy if I'm on Facebook. Well, but I'm on Facebook again. It fits in my schedule somewhere, you know. But I'm on Facebook again. Sam goes, I want you to speak. And I was like, man, all right, you know. And he's explaining to me what we're talking about. Here, let me grab this real quick because I'm about to start talking about it. But he explains to me what we're about to talk about. And he's like, okay, so we have a bunch of boxes. I was like, that is weird. Boxes. Random, but we're going to go with it. I'm going to keep listening to what Sam has to say. I was like, I trust my youth pastor. I look up to him. I'm trusting him. I'm like, boxes. Sam. And he said, we were talking about how we put God in a box and we minimize how much he can actually do for us. And I go, boxes. That's it. That's how, you know, I do that all the time. Minimize God in this box. I was like, I like it. Boxes. All right. It's like interesting, but it actually fits. It works. So I was thinking right when Sam told me that, I started thinking about what am I going to do with these boxes? What am I going to say about boxes? And I said, there's three boxes. We got three different types of boxes. We got our shoe box right here, right? You know, shoe box size. What? Oh, I wear a size 12 and a half, so, you know, maybe this is it. I don't know what kind of shoes you guys wear. I know also Noah Blant wears a big shoe, so this is our shoe box, all right? Big shoes. We got Shaquille O'Neal size feet. So, with our big shoe box, for some of you guys, it's a small shoe box. I'm sorry, I don't know everybody's size foot. But with our shoe box, we minimize God in there, and we, you know, it's, I call it a shoe box because for me, shoes, you know, I got some shoes. And I, you know, I got my church shoes, I'll call them. I'll call them church shoes. I wear them once every 7 days, right? Sunday. That's our church shoes, you know? Look nice for church, and then you look at them, you put them on, you lace them up. Oh, they look nice. Come to church for a little bit, and then you take them off, and then you're done with them. That's, you know, we're done with church shoes. And then when Sunday comes back, we'll put them on again. But I compared that to God. It's like we're minimizing God. It's those church shoes, we only use them once a week. If God's the Almighty, the Great I Am, why am I putting him in a shoebox size? And then I thought, okay, so there's my small box, and then there's a medium box. Like, I'm going to say the size of this right here. And it's, you know, that box, it's like we're using God. We love God. In all the boxes, we love God. But that, you know, we're using God. God's working through us and everything. But we don't realize, even though we're doing great and we are awesome and righteous in God, we don't realize how much God has to offer. And then there's this third box. You imagine how big a box can get. You can't even imagine the size, how big that third box is, because it's impossible to imagine. His power is so great. It is so awesome. It is so large that you can't even compare the box size. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm in that shoe box, that big shoe box. Sometimes I'm in the medium box. And I really feel on fire for God. But what I also have to realize is there's a box greater than I can use my full heart with God. That there's more all of us can do, especially me. I'm going to put it out. There's more we can do with God's love, with his power. Because it's unmeasurable. We can't even measure how powerful God is. And thinking about this, you know, thinking about my life and the boxes, and I was trying to relate, and I was like, you know, this reminds me of David. And you're going to be like, this is weird. But I was thinking, I don't know why I thought of this. I saw, like, someone smash a VCR lately. And no one uses a VCR, let's be honest, all right? No one uses the VCR. It's all about DVD players, Blu-ray. And I remember when I was younger, we had our box TV, flat screens hadn't came out yet. We didn't have the whole technology boom. And we had our VCR, and there was a couple things I watched on VCR. Because, you know, I'm not old, so, you know, bear with me. I didn't use the VCR too much. But when I did, when in my younger days, there was two things I watched. It was either Toy Story, you know, because, you know, my parents tell you I love Toy Story. I don't know why. I don't find it that great now, but I loved it when I was younger. And VeggieTales. And if you kids that watch VeggieTales, that is the most intriguing thing in the world. You got little veggies singing about stuff. Acting. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. This is the best cartoon ever. And I remember one specific VeggieTale I used to watch. It was David and Goliath. I loved it. Oh my goodness. David was my hero. He was my Superman. It was incredible. David took the stones, took the sling, and he swirled them around. Boom. It was a little cucumber, by the way. It's David. And he hit that Goliath. I don't even know what veggie Goliath was. He was a big veggie. I don't know. Maybe a watermelon. I don't know what he was. He was a tall watermelon. And watermelon's not even a veggie. He hit that Goliath down, and I was like, that is awesome. David is perfect. He is one of God's disciples. God is using him. Look at this guy. A little cucumber veggie shepherd, and then God used him to kill the Goliath. That is unbelievable. And I started to grow. I started to learn more about God. I started to mature. And you learn more about David and his actual walk. And you learn that David is imperfect. You know, he's in this box that is, you can't even imagine it, but he starts to step away. He starts to climb down the ladder of boxes. And I learned about David and how he was a sinful man, just like any of us. It kind of hurt me, I'm gonna be honest. I was like, come on, David, you're the perfect hero I thought of when I was a little kid. You can't sin. No, it doesn't make sense. Right? You know, a disciple of God, no way. There's just no way he can be sinful. But then you learn about the story of Bathsheba and the lust he had for that woman. And then it led to him having her husband killed. I mean, if you want to know the truth, I don't know. That's stepping down a couple boxes to me. After he had used God, and God had used him to kill Goliath, and he was humble about it, and he was like, he did for God's glory. He started to think, I'm King David now. I got some swagger, you know. I told Isabella today, he said, look at me now, I'm making paper, all right? He said, you know, he thought he was all that. And guess what? He started to forget about God. He started to minimize God's power. He's like, no, you know, God, I know you're there with me, whatever, you know, it's all about me. Now I'm King David. People are worshiping me, my works. But he forgot in the midst of his sin, in Bathsheba and the killing, that it was God that led him to be King David. To be this great shepherd boy that he once was. And his friend Nathan, you know, this reminds me of me and my friends. And like Caleb, who's actually here this morning. Glad to see him. And, you know, it's like Caleb coming up to me and saying, homie, you're messing up. But he didn't say it as direct as Caleb would say it to me. Nathan came up and he's like, he told him a story. He's like, and the moral of the story was that you're not humble anymore. You've taken all the glory for yourself and let the glory of God disappear and minimize it in this small shoebox, even if there's a box anymore. And David realizes, you know, he realizes at that point, he's like, I need to remember where I came from. Humble myself. Remember that God put me in the place to be even close to say, have that righteousness, that self-glory, and be like, I did this. Because it's not my glory, it's God's glory. He worked through me. And I was just like, you know, I imagined David as a superhero when I was younger. But now that I look at David's story, it's even more inspiring. Because I'm not a perfect person. At 17 years old, you know, if I'm imperfect, I don't know that much because I'm 17. You know, people tell me, you know, you got to mature, you know. I'm telling you, 3/4 of this congregation knows way more than me because I'm 17 years old. I am not the oldest person in the room. I can tell you that much. But if you could raise your hand and tell me you're perfect, please do. I laugh because my arm just would go down here. You know, I dislocated my shoulder a couple weeks ago, but, you know, God just popped that thing out and let it hang. Because he goes, you're imperfect, Robert. And I go, you know what? I am. Oh, man, I am. Let the shoulder hang because I am imperfect. But guess what? I say thanks to God because he made me in my imperfection. He made me how he wanted to make me. He created all of you in his own eyes. Not in anybody else's eyes, in his own eyes. That's the cool part. And you know, it just amazes me. I sit up here and I talk, and to hear what Malachi and Isabel said, they touched me. Because to hear what God is speaking through us, all the kids, through the worship team, it shows that God's bigger than what we really think he is. He's greater than what we will ever know. I have a verse from Psalms, and you're going to be like, this is kind of random, but comes out on my Bible app that I have on my phone. If you don't, I'm only using my iPhones. I don't, you know, technology, it helps me out these days. And it was a Bible verse of the day, and it said in Psalms 116, 1-2, it says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard me cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. And I think that is one of the main points today. We're going to go through ups and downs in life. And I got a lot to go through, I guess. I'm gonna guess. That's what I've been told. I mean, 17 years old, I got a lot, hopefully a lot more years to go. And I'm going to be going through the ups and downs in life. But I will have this verse, and you know what? I will call on the Lord as long as I live. because he is the great I am. He's the God Almighty. He can do anything. And I know he has a plan for me, and I know he has a plan for all of you. That is the great part. So why minimize him in my big old shoebox that I got with my big old feet? Why? That's something I have to look at every day. Something I pray about every day. Something that I ask God for help on every day. And I just want you guys to know that God is with you. He will always be with you. Even if you run away, try to run away from him, he's going to bring you back. He's got a lasso on you. He's got a leash. He's like, you know those like new leashes they have for little kids? It's like a little backpack and you can hold your kid on it. Like, that's what he does now. All right? That's what he does. So remember that. God loves you, and he loves you for your imperfections and the greatness you bring to this world. Thank you.